Tonight's episode of CNC Reviews on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio is brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Sign up today for a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/PWP Radio. Remember to include the /PWP Radio so they know we sent you.
We here at CNC Reviews would like to remind you to turn off your cell phones and remain as quiet as possible during the show.
And before you start asking questions, we are not kidding. If you don't stay quiet, I will go ghetto on your ass.
Unless you want a large black man beating the shit out of you, I would shut the fuck up.
You're damn right.
Please, sit back, enjoy the show, and remain courteous to your fellow listeners.
Or you know what will happen.
And we are live. Welcome back to CNC Reviews after our one-week hiatus and the Season 1 finale. We return to you for Season 2, the Season 2 premiere. Got a lot in store for you tonight, a lot of changes happening. We are now working with PWP Radio, PW Powerhouse, Jerry Strong J. It's a great partnership, and we're starting that off. We're starting it the right way. We're starting it off on the New Year's. Today is January 1st, 2014, the first show of 2014, and it's just fucking fantastic. And, of course, as you know, I am your creator and co-host, Caleb Johnston. And I've been sick for like a week, but I am using all of my energy to give you guys a fucking great show tonight. And, of course, I am alongside my African-American co-host who couldn't be here on the finale due to having a surgery recently before. So, Cameron, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I am doing great. I'm doing very, very great.
That is fantastic, and of course, like I said, so we're kind of on a new thing. It's kind of a reboot almost, you know, we're with PWP Radio. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I'm very excited for it. I'm very excited to, you know, be partnering with Jay. He's a very great guy.
Yeah, same with me. It's going to be fantastic, guys. And there was a little issue with the number and everything, so Manic won't be with us this second, but he will be on tonight. We will be interviewing him very soon, so don't tune away just yet because that is our main attraction for the premiere of Season 2. Now, to start the show off, we've only really got one movie to review this week, and that movie is Goon. Now, Goon is a very interesting movie, and basically it's about this dude who's a fucking bouncer, whatever the fuck, you know, beating up people who are drunk in bars, who are getting rowdy, they need to get kicked out, all that jazz. And then one day, he's at a hockey game. This dude fucking one of the hockey players gets him to stand, and he just beats the shit out of him, and then they realize, holy shit, this dude is good. He can fight, so it's like, let's make him a, you know, they call him, I guess, I don't know very many hockey terms, but I guess the term is goon, where you just kind of go out there and fight. You don't even have to play hockey. What?
Enforcer. That's what,
yeah.
That's what you'd call it.
Okay. All right, then. Yeah, exactly. Like I said, I'm not really 100% sure. But ladies and gentlemen, on the line right now is Manic is on the line. We are now, it's time to interview him and all that shit. So actually, we'll continue the Goon review later. I am very sorry, folks. But guys, let's just give a warm welcome, CNC Reviews welcome, to former X Division champion and just a really talented in-ring performer, TJ Perkins, a.k.a. Manic. TJ, thank you for joining us. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing really well. Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, yeah. You know, Happy New Year. Just like I said, just really thanks for joining us tonight, man.
Yeah, I was disappointed that you guys are going to stop doing the Goon review. It sounded pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's, you know, please, after we're done interviewing you, you can tune into the rest of the show, and it's very interesting, I promise. You won't regret it.
Yeah, what is the Goon review exactly?
Yeah, it is a very good movie. I had the chance to watch it yesterday morning, and it was fantastic. But let's jump straight into the interview. And I guess I'm going to ask the first question. And one of the biggest questions I had on my mind was, whenever you started off on TNA, people, I for one didn't know it was you. I wasn't very familiar with your work. And I thought it was maybe Kazarian doing it again as a suicide character. Maybe Loki had come back. But what was it like to start off this year as the suicide character, you know, portraying suicide, and then to slowly transition that into yourself and turning that into your own thing as Manic? Just what was that like?
It's funny, like, I didn't think, I mean, I'm not really, like, a talkative guy as far as, I mean, I'm talkative as far as social media and things like that, but, yeah, I didn't, like put this type of thing, like, out there for everybody to seek out and know, but it seemed like, it only took a few minutes, you know, after the opening bell for people to kind of realize, like, I was there in the ring, so. But, you know, the whole experience was, it was interesting because, like, I don't think that there was, like, there was no, like, long-term goal, I think, on either end. It was just, an opportunity that I saw it as an opportunity, maybe it wasn't intended to be one. And I think I kind of took everything in my own direction, and it started to exceed any kind of expectations, you know, from anybody watching and, you know, whether people in the company, out of the company, you know, my peers or whatever, and even myself. I mean, I didn't know how it was going to work. You know, I just, for once, I kind of had this open palette. Like, it's funny because it's the one time I've been given something that kind of belong to other people, but it's the one time I actually felt the most freedom. Because oftentimes you come into a situation where, you know, you might be able to be yourself. Like, I mean, I've been myself, you know, I guess people see it as like, oh, he gets to be exactly how he wants. Like when he goes to Ring of Honor or whatever, or when I was Puma or something like that, but you don't really entirely get to build your own thing all the time, even when it looks like it. And in this case, I was given no parameters. So I just said, F it, man. I'll do. Right. This is the one time I've been given total freedom over what I can do, and I just did what I felt. So
that's good. That's good. I for one was very skeptical when they decided to change the suicide character because I've been a big supporter of the suicide character. Whenever you know, with everyone who's been doing it, and whenever they decided to change the name, I was skeptical at first. But you really turned suicide into, I think, what it was meant to be. And honestly, I think you've had the best portrayal, and I'm not kissing your ass or anything, but you've done an amazing job at it. You've done some great in-ring work these past few months.
Well, I mean, I feel like it was something that wasn't really tapped into well enough, you know? Like, I think a lot of people had high expectations for the character, and, you know, regardless of me being in it, I just think that people kind of felt like it was, like it didn't really reach its potential. And, you know, it's always going to be popular with kids and people that, you know, even older demographics that kind of are intrigued by that type of, like, visual art as far as wrestling and the concept of certain things. But then, you know, for really in-depth wrestling fans, I think they kind of felt you know, like more could have come out of it. So, you know, I just thought that, you know, I have more to offer than I think people think. And maybe I have more to offer than previous portrayals. And, you know, maybe they were in a different position than I was. And whatever the case was, I just, I did look at it as, well, I'm going to enter this thing literally in a corner. Because not a lot of people would expect it to succeed, and not a lot of people still like it, you know, from its inception.
Right,
so
right.
I looked at it as a situation where I'm, you know, parachuting right into a fire. Like I'm not going to march up to a fire. Like I have to kind of fight from the negative just to get even. But I kind of felt like since I had so much freedom that I'd be able to make up ground real quick. And you know, some of my favorite characters, like, are characters with a lot of freedom. You know, Deadpool is my favorite Marvel character, which is ironic because it has a lot of the same visual traits. So, you know, I think of, like, you know, actors and different artists and characters and stuff, and they all have that in common with me, at least my favorite. You know, Charlie Chaplin is a huge influence on me, and he's just a guy that can take an empty room or an empty set and turn it into gold. And so I just looked at, well, okay, I'm going to have all this freedom. All I have is a uniform. So, you know, I think as long as I could stay in the game and keep getting at bats, then I think it'll exceed what people expect.
That's good. That is a great way to look at it and everything. And, of course, I'm not the only person in this interview. So, Cameron, of course, my co-host, why don't you ask him a question and help me do this interview?
Yeah, this is a very generic question, but when did you know you wanted to become a wrestler?
It's a good question. I get that one a lot on my Ask FM. It's weird because... and I say, and a lot of people have said this, and like throughout history for various things, that, you know, I didn't choose something, whatever chose me. But I honestly can't pinpoint a single time. Not only can I not pinpoint a single moment when it was like my aha moment, like, oh, okay, I get it, wrestling. I just always grew up knowing it was there. Like, I, before, like, my earliest memories, I already knew that I was a huge wrestling fan, and I already knew that someday, it was an assumption of mine. Like, I just thought, okay, someday I'll grow up and be a wrestler. Like, I don't know if it's because I was so introverted or maybe so self-centered in my mind. Like, in my head, I thought everybody grew up to be wrestlers. Like, that's how insane I was growing up. So, like, I thought, like, you know, my friend Kevin, he's going to grow up and be a wrestler. And, like, it was, like, I didn't even talk to people about it. I just assumed we all grew up to be professional wrestlers someday because that's how much it dominated my, like, psyche growing up. So even as early as, like, 3 or 4, I just assumed someday I'll grow up and be a wrestler. I never, ever once thought about it. And then one day I wasn't even a teenager yet. I was, like, 11, 12, and I just said, well, I should probably learn how I'm going to do this. So I started writing all those, like, training gyms that you would see, like, with ads in Pro Wrestling Illustrated because, like, the internet wasn't really a thing yet, so I couldn't look anything up very easily back in, like, 95, 96. So, you know, so, like, in around 1996, 97, I just started, like, actually hitting up all those places with ads that were probably just meant to rip you off. But, I started looking them up then, but there was never one moment where I could turn to and say, okay, that was the changing point in my life. It's just, it's weird. It's like I was pre-selected to be consumed with it since I was a baby.
Yeah. I've actually talked to a wrestler about a year ago, and he gave me a similar answer to the question. So, Caleb, you got another question?
One big question I've been very curious about because I'm not a huge expert on your in-ring work. I've watched a couple of your older matches here and there, but I've mostly just seen your TNA stuff from this last year. Out of every match you've been in, what are some of the matches that just stood out to you that you were in that you thought were just some of your best in-ring work?
That's a good question. It's really hard to say. I shudder to think at what you must have watched before because I've had friends that ask, like, I don't really watch myself. I don't have DVDs of myself or anything like that. I think I have a few maybe from Ring of Honor because sometimes, like, when I was contracted there, they'd give you stuff or whatever. Like, sometimes at Indies, they'll give you a DVD and I'll just put it on my shelf, but... So when I try to find matches for my friends or something like that, the stuff I can actually find on YouTube or something is usually really bad. I shudder at what you must have found. But as far as my best, I mean, it's really hard to say. I mean, There's so many things that go into this that it's hard to identify what should be defined as best. I mean, a lot of people really liked the match I had with this guy named Kyle O'Reilly, you know, earlier this year. And it's a Pro Wrestling Guerrilla out of L.A., you know, smaller independent company. And I loved it. I thought it was great for certain reasons. And there's certain reasons that I thought that I could have done a lot better. I really liked the match I had in Boston at the Teenage this year with Kenny King and Chris Sabin. I liked that for advanced pro wrestling reasons. beyond the physical stuff, like the mental game we have to play as pro wrestlers, it's sort of like our two-minute offense if we were like Peyton Manning or something like that. I thought that night we did really well. Personally, I thought I did really well as far as that goes. So, I mean, that was one of my favorites for this year. But, I mean, it's hard. I never really think about it like that. I mean, I don't have maybe I'm not self-centered enough as far as liking my own stuff, but I never leave the ring thinking, oh, this one is one of my, or this one ranks this well to me. I usually kind of forget about it as soon as I'm done because it's like, it's more of a black or white thing. Like, I'll get out of the ring and I'll assess and everything I did wrong and did I do my job, did I not? I accomplished it, or rather, it's like an accomplishment. Did I accomplish my mission or did I not? And if I did, then I forget about it because there's another one coming in a week or a day or whatever. So oftentimes I forget. So I don't know. I really liked all the stuff I did in TNA this year, but Boston was one of my favorites. I really liked the match in San Diego we did recently too. Those are really hard, though, to gauge creatively because there's so many elements involved with stuff like that, like, you know, devices and, you know, like a trapeze in the ring, basically, and so it's stuff like that makes it a little weird.
That's very interesting. Of course, it's always great to hear, you know, what the person, you know, because I mean, it's not often you get to talk to someone or a wrestler about their thoughts on matches they were in that they enjoyed, or even their just perspective on how to have a good match and. It's fantastic, honestly. And Cameron, if you have a question?
Being a wrestling fan, which one did you prefer, WWF or WCW?
Ooh, which time? I mean, there was a time
just all around. Just which one would you really just stick to?
Probably the WWF. I think that they're overall, I think over time they're just more efficient. They got more, I mean, knowing what I know now, like with the wrestling IQ I have now, as far as how to do my job and stuff like that, seeing the way that they operated over time and seeing the way WCW did, I mean, they're both great, but I think WWF is a little bit more efficient. They got a little bit more out of a little bit less. In the long run, that's the better thing because then you have a lot more to do. But there was a period of time, I mean, depending on when we're talking about, where I loved WCW and I couldn't turn it off. And it's not at the times that are most obvious. Like, I mean, like 1991 to 1994, there were times when I could not wait to watch, like, the Saturday shows or, I couldn't wait to watch Sting wrestle whoever he was wrestling, like Rick Rude or Vader, you know, around that time. And then, like, later on, like, when they were doing really interesting stuff, I was opposite, man. When they were doing other stuff, it's like my script would totally flip. Like, when everybody loved one thing, I always ended up liking the other, not because of other people, but just, I don't know, I was drawn to different stuff, but I don't know. Early 90s, I really loved WCW, still love WWF, but overall, I think that I just always preferred the WWF.
Yeah, I grew up in the South, and my uncle loved WCW, and he got me into wrestling, so I'll always have a soft spot for WCW, so I'd probably have to go with WCW.
I liked WCW, you know, before they got so television-y, you know? I liked it when it was probably the stuff that really drew in, what was it, your uncle, you said?
Yeah.
Like, the older stuff that probably really drew in his generation and really how they ended up, you know, kind of owning the South, so to speak, that was the WCW I loved. I didn't like it later on when it got super wacky and super streamlined with, you know, by the time all the NWO stuff was going on, it started to fade on me. I liked the way that they made the old main events feel. That's the other thing too, is that despite that, I think WWF was more efficient over time, but I always loved the way that they made you feel like you're watching like such a great sport in WCW. I loved that. I will always love that. You know, that time is what I really miss about wrestling in general.
Yeah. I have another question. You've probably been with a few wrestling companies. What company did you enjoy working with the most?
I honestly feel like I've always, I mean, for me, I think New Japan Pro Wrestling is always going to be my favorite. And maybe that's just, that. I mean, I probably have bias for several reasons because of that. I mean, they took me in as a kid, so they kind of gave me my first, they really taught me how to be a professional, so to speak. And they were always a pipe dream that I thought of my, or they were always a dream of mine that I thought would just be a pipe dream. Like when I was growing up, I thought, you know, and I wrestled when I was like 13 already, so I was still growing up, but I used to think, okay, someday I'd love to be in, you know, at that time, WCW was still around, so I was like, oh, I'd love to be in WCW, I'd love to be in the WWF, and I, you know, I wanted to do everything my heroes did, like go to CMLL in Mexico and go to New Japan, All Japan as well, but to me, I always thought Japan was the pipe dream, because it's like there's no way to plan that, like who do I talk to and figure that out? I mean, at least I figured someday if I'm good enough, big enough, and when I get older, there's people I could physically meet and speak to that have experience with the WWF or WCW or wherever I want to go here. But I thought, like, Japan, how do you even begin to formulate a plan like that? So to me, I thought that would never happen. So when it turned out that was the first thing that happened for me. And I just always love that place. I mean, in and out of the ring, that place is just so fantastic. Outside of that, I always really thought that I was very comfortable in TNA. I first came in as an 18- or 19-year-old kid. You know, I stayed friends with a lot of the people that were there over the years. So even when I would go and do matches for WWE, like on Raw or Dark matches or SmackDown or whatever, I always used to think, well, it's just not quite as comfortable as when I am at TNA. Maybe that's just because of the people that were there and I knew them better, or because I spent more time. I don't know, but so when I came back this year for TNA, I just felt like, you know, it just feels like at home. I'd probably go with those two. Every other place is, I have fun everywhere I go. Every place is cool to me. I'm just one of those people, I just want to wrestle. It doesn't really matter where it is. I just enjoy it, and I get along with everybody. So, you know, I love Ring of Honor as well, but I think New Japan and TNA are probably my favorites.
Yeah, I've always liked watching New Japan. They've always just intrigued me. Growing up, who were your favorite wrestlers?
Um, initially, you know, I'd probably go with the usual suspects like Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Jake the Snake, Roddy Piper, those guys. But overall, I think the ones that had a long-lasting influence on me were, if I had to pick like three, I'd probably go with Shawn Michaels, the first Tiger Mask, and Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah, I've always really liked Eddie Guerrero too. He was just awesome to me. When you won the X Division title, how did that feel?
They have a video up. I don't know how many people ended up seeing it. I know that they used some of the video on Impact, but for the most part, it was just kind of like an upload for the website or for the YouTube or something like that. And they interviewed me right as soon as I came out of the ring, and they were talking to me about it's the interview where I'm talking about like the tough times I've had, like being homeless and things like that. And it's funny because they used the interview, but the way they edited it, you'd think that they just interviewed me arbitrarily before a match or something like that. But what ended up happening was as soon as I won the title, as soon as I came through, they had all the media cameras and stuff basically pinned me against the wall, and they're asking me all these questions. And I don't think they were getting the answers that they wanted, or they just didn't like the answers that I was giving, because they're asking normal questions, but they were just waiting to get an interesting answer. And so eventually I just said, look, and I said, if you want to know how I feel, this is how I feel. This is what I was thinking. And that's, all of that was like 100% real. None of that was written or scripted or planned. That was literally, excuse me, just me frustrated with trying to express myself and then just laying out my real life for them, and they just loved it. They had no idea about it, and it made Dixie Carter cry because she was standing next to me off camera listening, so when I won, I just really thought about all those things, the same things you said in the video. Just all the different various places I've been through since I was a teenager, and all the doors that were slammed in my face, and it's like, well, I finally snuck through one. So, I guess you could say it's sort of like validation, but at the same time, you know, I'm still young and there's so much more to do, so I try not to think about that type of stuff.
All right. Caleb, do you have any questions? No, I guess he's gone again. So how was your New Year? Did you have a fun New Year's Eve?
Yeah, I had a good New Year's. I've been spending a lot of the holidays recently with my Filipino family here in L.A. and all Filipino families are really tight knit units. It's usually a lot of us. So. it was a good one, though.
Yeah, I just sat around and watched a couple movies with my family. Just didn't really do much. What are some of your dream matches? If you could wrestle anyone, who would it be?
I'd love to wrestle Eddie Guerrero. He's by my estimation, he's probably pound for pound the best guy to ever really do this. There's not really anything he can't do, and he has every tool you could ask a guy to have. And across the board, you know, not any single thing he's the best at, but he's so good at everything that he's pretty close to the best at everything. I'd love to wrestle him because of that. And so many of my peers and stuff have attested to like how smart he is. And I'm obsessed with wrestling IQ. Like, I am absolutely obsessed with that with all athletes. Like, whether you're like, you know, if you're a football player, like, I'm obsessed with how high, Peyton Manning or Tom Brady's football IQ probably is. Like, it's insane how smart they probably are. They could play the game in their head and beat somebody. Kobe Bryant, basketball, same thing. He's such an incredible fundamental player, but he is so smart. Like, there's probably nobody that knows more about the way the game works than him. I'm just obsessed with that, and because Eddie was like that for wrestling, I wish I could have wrestled.
Yeah, I would have loved to watch you and him wrestle. I think that would have just been a pretty good match.
Wish I could have wrestled Sting in his prime too, when he was younger. You know, neon green Sting.
Yeah.
Okay. That would have been fun.
Kevin, are you back now?
I guess not.
I guess he's gone again. you said
I'm back.
You're back? Okay. Do you have any questions?
Sorry about that. My internet was messing up. But one question I was really curious about was, since you come to TNA, who have been some of the guys backstage who have really helped you out the most and, like, you know, giving you tips and whatnot?
Not many. that's the half truth. I mean, not many, but not because people are, like, not helping me, but this second time around, and because, you know, I mean, like, I've been wrestling for 15 years now, and in a lot of, you know, different places. So sometimes a lot, you know, if I run into a problem, sometimes it's questions that just can't be answered by anybody else. But I seek out answers when I really need them, you know, from people. And some people have actually been pretty helpful without me having to ask. Sting has given me a lot of advice, which is really cool. Sometimes he gives me more compliments than advice, which is nice, but I wish he would really just tell me what I'm doing wrong more, because then it'd help me out better. But he's been really complimentary of me and supportive, and that's been really cool. I usually go to my friends and ask them things just because I trust them, and I know that if we were somewhere else, they would trust me. So I'll go to guys like Samoa Joe or something like that. I learn a lot from Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian, guys I've been friends with a long time, and I've been wrestling almost as long as them. But you know, they were always like my big brothers because they were always much older than me, so I could kind of learn from them, but just by following them around, and it's still like that to this day. So there's been a few people that have been really cool about it like that. But, you know, for the most part, I kind of just, like I said, this is the first time I've been given a lot of freedom, but at the same time, this is sort of the first time where I can finally sit down and apply the skills that I've been gathering over the last 15 years. Like, a lot of times I'd end up in places previous to this, and I wouldn't do so well, but it was because I was working on specific things, because I knew I had to learn something. So where people were expecting for me to aim for match of the night, I wasn't even trying to do something like that because I was trying to work on one specific thing, because you know, I figured someday I can have those matches, but for now I need to learn. So now I could finally apply all that. So, but I don't know. I mean, Sting and a lot of my friends have been real cool about it.
Caleb, and Carl ended up dropping again. do you have any current favorite wrestlers?
Yeah, I still really like Sting. I like Kurt. I like Kurt Angle. I still love Rey Mysterio. I think he's the barometer for smaller wrestlers, you know, the last however long the previous generation has been. And he's just gotten so much better as he's gotten older. I like my buddy, he's probably my favorite guy to watch as far as the WWE guys go, but my buddy Tyson Kidd, he's by far my favorite wrestler over there. So I love watching him. Over in Japan, he was sort of a mentor to me, and he might be my favorite wrestler overall currently, is Minoru Tanaka. He was a New Japan guy previously, a close friend of his, Koji Kanemoto, also, you know, a previous New Japan guy. Those are probably my favorites. They've been my favorites for a long time.
We have some of the same favorites. We introducing my friend Jamie. He's coming to.
I'm on. I think my Wi-Fi is not being a dick now.
Okay. Well, Caleb, do you have questions?
One question I was very curious to ask you was, what was your you worked in TNA back in 2004 as Puma, right?
Yes, that's correct.
What were your thoughts on working down there at the time?
At the time?
Yeah.
For me, it was crazy because, I had spent a year in Mexico wrestling for CMLL. That's, you know, the biggest company in Mexico. And then I had, before that, debuted with New Japan and, you know, did all the stuff that, basically all the same stuff that, like, Chris Benoit did. Like, I lived in the dojo and did, you know, the student matches and did all the training and stuff like that. And then, I wrestled in some pretty cool places. Like, I wrestled in the Tokyo Dome. Some of my friends are wrestling this week in the Tokyo Dome as well, which is pretty cool. So they'll be there for a couple of them. It'll be their first time. So that's a cool experience for them. So I got to do some cool stuff when I was younger right before that. So it's not like I was totally overwhelmed by the experience, but still going there, and then it's like you're sitting in a locker room and a limo pulls up with, like, Hulk Hogan and an entourage of a dozen people, and half of them are famous, and it's like, whoa, like, this is not like being a teenager and starting out in, like, you know, tiny club shows or something in Los Angeles or, you know, wrestling in Tijuana to get extra money. Like, this is, like, pretty big atmosphere. And obviously, you know, like, you're on live TV or live pay-per-view or, you know, whatever I was on at the time. I don't think I had Impact yet. I think they're still doing Explosion, but, like, I did the first ever live pay-per-view that they had. And so, I mean, it's pretty intimidating for, like, an 18, 19-year-old kid to be like, okay, a million people are watching me now, and don't screw up. I remember sitting at the curtain right before I had to go out for a match, and Dusty Rhodes was there, and I think he was on the headset, and sitting right next to the curtain, and he looks at me and said something very Dusty-ish, like, you know, go get him, kid. Like, go get him, baby, or something like that. And I just kind of chuckled to myself, and then I could overhear in the background off the monitor, like, I could hear the voices through the speaker of the broadcast with, like, Mike Tenay talking about, like, the upcoming competitors, and he mentioned me and gave, like, my backstory of being a Mexico and Japan, you know, veteran or whatever, experienced guy, and I was like, wow, this is crazy. I mean, like, a few years ago, I was listening to him talk about my heroes, and now he's talking about me. It's a really strange experience, so you almost forget that you're wrestling.
That's awesome. I can only imagine what that must feel like, honestly.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you know that inevitably if you do well, and that's the atmosphere you'll be in, but that first, like, you know, breaking the shell, getting through type thing, it's like, it's, you know, and I had already done some pretty big stuff. Like, I'd wrestled in a huge crowd at the Tokyo Dome and on broadcasts and stuff like that with legends and various people. Like, you know, I'd wrestled with Jushin Liger already. I'd wrestled in front of 60,000 people already. I'd wrestled in Mexico for, you know, on big shows and stuff like that. But it's still, like, an experience that you have to go through where you're like, wow, this is kind of overwhelming for a second. And then, you know, depending on who you are, I guess, it melts away after that. But at first, it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, and Cameron, do you have any more questions?
Yeah, when you need help or advice, who is your go-to guy backstage?
Like when I was younger, or?
Yeah.
It's really the same as today. I mean, it'd just be my friends. I guess that's probably why earlier when you'd asked me, like, where my favorite place to be is, it's probably why TNA was always one of my favorites, because I'm so comfortable there. When I first broke in as a teenager, my friends had just barely broken in ahead of me. Christopher Daniels, Frank Kazarian, guys like that. And trying to remember if I might have actually started there right before Joe got there, and then I wasn't there anymore, and then Joe came, but Smojo as well is another guy I would go to them just because they're like my older brothers, and sometimes they didn't have any better in answer than I did because they were still kind of new at that type of thing, but they were older and more mature, and you know, in many ways I'm still not very mature, so, and to this day I still go to them. You know, at this point they have a much more comfortable experience there than I have because I've been doing other stuff. So I'd still go to them when I'm unsure of something, like, hey, you know, I need a sounding board for this, and am I wrong about this, or what am I missing, that type of thing.
Yeah, that's very cool. Caleb, do you have any more? I think he's gone again.
The Wi-Fi gods are taking up the feud with him today.
Yeah. So I'm going to introduce my friend Jamie to see if he he's usually on the show sometimes. So I'm going to ask him, does he have any questions?
Yeah, I heard that there's a little bit of Wi-Fi trouble. You're lucky I was down the street. I opened up a fortune cookie and it told me that, you know, you may be called upon today for services. So you're lucky that I'm here. You're lucky that I had time.
Your name has been called.
All right, so it's all good. Just one question that just kind of popped in my head when I was on my way over here. What's one guy in WWE right now that you would love to work with?
Mysterio.
Mm.
If I had to pick one guy, it'd probably be Mysterio. Mysterio or Tyson Kidd. Tyson Kidd is his buddy of mine. He's a lot like me. I think we share a lot of the same traits and same skills. By my estimation, he's the best wrestler they have. To me, he's legitimately
Definitely.
The best guy they have. You may not. I mean, a lot of people don't realize it because of what his name looks like on a piece of paper compared to other guys. But he's incredible, and you know, and because he's a good friend, I'd love to be in there with him. But if I had to pick one guy, I probably would pick Mysterio.
Hmm. Very nice. Yeah. Mysterio, I think. I would probably consider Mysterio the greatest high flyer. Like, you know,
he pioneered so many things. And a lot of that, I think, is by circumstance because, you know, there's a lot of guys that pioneered before him to get him in position to do this. Like, for example, the people don't realize that without Ultimo Dragon, Rey Mysterio might not even have a career. Like, he might still be in Mexico. There's a lot of guys that were great at the Lucha Libre style, and you know, Mysterio's got something that those guys don't, something deep inside him, but without the career building blocks that he had, you know, going to WAR in Japan and being a guest on the J-Cup and then, you know, going on some of those tours and eventually coming over to ECW because he was doing that, because he was in ECW, you know, he ended up in WCW, and because of that, you know, he is where he is today. All of that came about largely because of Ultimo Dragon. But then, you know, you look at guys like Dragon and Liger, Jushin Liger, you know, and they kind of came at a time where it might have been just too early for the world to really get to sink their teeth into what guys like Mysterio can do. So then they kind of missed the boat, but they provided the stairs for Rey to be in position to do this. So, you know, he's, you know, your estimation of him is definitely correct. I mean, by circumstance and by who he is and how good he is, he definitely is, you'd have to say he might be the most influential figure, you know, maybe ever for guys of his stature, so.
Definitely. Cameron, did you have anything else to add or ask, or?
No, I didn't have anything else.
All right, just one last thing before we wrap this entire thing up. I mean, I'm talking now like I've been here the entire time, but I've only been here, what, 5 minutes? So, you mentioned before how Hogan was one of your favorites growing up. What was it like working with him, like, you know, at any point whatsoever?
Sort of an unreal experience. I mean, I'll put it into perspective. when I speak to family or friends or you know, even strangers, and they don't understand maybe what I do because maybe they're just not wrestling fans or something like that. Same way as, like, you might be an A-list actor and meet somebody who just doesn't watch movies that often, or they don't read the internet or magazines or something, so then they don't really know what you've been in, and you're like, what are you talking about? I was in Inception and this movie and that movie, and they're like, nope, sorry. So when I talk to people and they're super curious, but they just have no experience and never really seen what I do, all I have to do is just show them a picture on my phone of one of the interviews I did with Hogan, like standing next to him on stage. Instantly they get it. I could show them 100 pictures of me doing spin kicks and body slams and stuff off the top rope and holding title belts and pictures of me in the Tokyo Dome and Arena Mexico and the Cow Palace and, you know, on Impact with the Impact logo, on coming down the ramp at Monday Night Raw for like a random match or whatever I had on TV, and they won't understand any of it. They'll still, like, is that like boxing or like, what is that? And then all I need to do is show them a picture of me standing next to Hogan. We're both in street clothes and you can't even see the stage because it's such a close up picture. It's just us standing on the ramp and we're not even in wrestling gear. We're in street clothes. And instantly they're like, oh, I get it. It's like that's like a microcosm for the answer that I think you're looking for. I mean, it's crazy. It's even having stood in the ring with him, you think about it, and it's like, it's weird to think, wow, I did that. You know, he's Muhammad Ali. You know, he's Michael Jordan. It's crazy. I mean, just if you play for the Toronto Raptors or something, and you got to defend Michael Jordan in one game, you'll never forget that. Like, it's crazy.
Definitely.
He's, you know, he just represents the biggest entity that wrestling may ever have, save for maybe The Rock. And it's just crazy to have shared the ring with the guy so many times.
Alrighty, well, Caleb, I believe you're back finally, still.
So are we going to wrap this up now, or what's going on?
I'm pretty much done for the two questions that I thought up of on the way over here. Caleb? Oh my god. Alrighty, well, TJ, I speak for both Caleb and Cameron when I say thank you very much for joining us, and Happy New Year.
Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure, and, you know, Happy New Year as well. If you guys want to do this again, just let me know, and we'll get a part two going anytime you guys want.
All righty. Sounds very, very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Thank you. All right.
You guys can hear me, right?
Yes, Caleb, we can.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I was having a nice...
Out of all the days for my Wi-Fi to be a piece of shit, huh?
I was having a nice meal down the street. And I get a message saying, hey, Caleb's Wi-Fi is acting all messy. Maybe you want to come over here, maybe help out a little bit. And I'm like, are you kidding me? It's New Year's Day. This is the first day of 2014. And you want to bring me in now? Having a nice meal.
Caleb was having a nice meal, Caleb.
Caleb, your Wi-Fi blew it. I had to put it back
Internet. Don't blame me.
I had to put it back in the bag. It's getting cold. It's getting cold.
Did you say it's getting old or it's getting cold?
It's getting cold, Caleb. You know how freezing it is outside? Especially at this time of year? This time of the season? Your nuts instantly shrivel when you step outside. That's how cold it is out there. Freezing.
Alrighty. Well, anyway, James, thank you for helping me whenever my Wi-Fi was fucked up.
Oh, not a problem, Caleb. My pleasure.
But yeah, we're going to have to, obviously, in a few weeks, we'll have to take him up on that offer for part two.
Yes, part two must be needed.
Oh, yeah, part two is needed, because so I can actually be there for the entire interview. Nonetheless, before we were interviewing TJ, we were going to review Goon. Now, Jamie, have you seen Goon?
I have not seen Goon, but I do know what it is, though.
All right, well, Cameron, why don't you give your opinions on Goon first?
I watched this a few months ago, and being a sports fan and a hockey fan, I had high hopes because Stifler is in it, and Goon is one of my favorite movies now.
Goon is really... I haven't seen many hockey movies. Do you count Happy Gilmore as a hockey movie? I mean, he does play hockey in it at the beginning or whatever. Nonetheless, I mean, unless you want to count Happy Gilmore, this is really, I think, the only hockey movie I've ever seen. And it was really interesting because it's a movie I've wanted to see since I saw it. It's got an amazing cast. You know, you've got Eugene Levy, Sean William Scott, Jay Baruchel, Liev Schreiber... Tig from Sons of Anarchy. You got a fucking awesome cast of five actors I really like, even though Sean William Scott irritates me sometimes. I really like this cast. And you go into this movie where Sean William Scott, even though it's a comedy movie, basically, Sean William Scott isn't playing the normal character he plays. Like, nothing Sean William Scott really said was super fun. Like, he wasn't, like, How does it, he wasn't playing a comedic role, but it was in a comedy movie, I guess, if that makes any sense. It was just so different than any role, you know, I've ever seen him play. I'm sure he plays serious roles in other movies. But in this movie, it was really interesting because he was almost like a guy you felt sorry for. He doesn't really know how to do anything else besides beat the shit out of people, basically, and that's kind of sad. You know, there are people like that, you know, he's kind of too stupid to really do anything, like be a doctor or anything. He's got the whole pressure of his father being a doctor and his brother being a doctor. And it was just a great story, and it's just kind of great. And it was nice to see Sean William Scott in a new element, I suppose. What did you think about that, Cameron? What did you think about Sean William Scott's portrayal?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't him. I mean, he played this, I wouldn't say a nerdy guy, but just a quiet guy. It wasn't him, and I think he did a pretty good job at it.
Oh, yeah. And then one thing I really thought was just so cool was I just really enjoyed, just, I don't know, the fucking way they did the fighting was just so fantastic. Just something about it looked like legitimate hockey fights. You know, you see, you know, let's say I'm watching a Bruins game. It seems like a fight you could see happening there. And I'm sure Jamie's upset that I used the Bruins. you know, I love the Bruins.
You would mention the Bruins.
Except the Red Sox. Fuck the Red Sox.
Especially
the Bruins make me happy.
The Bruins make me
happy. But I understand, James. But we can't all be happy with sports teams.
No, we cannot.
The Cowboys lost this week. I'm feeling
did he go out again? Hey, you see, that's what happens. When you mention the Cowboys, your Wi-Fi just commits suicide.
Oh, James. What are we going to do?
I have no idea. Caleb is supposed to be the captain of the ship here. And what's he doing? Now he's gone. Now he's back.
I have returned.
That's good, Caleb. That's good.
Much like Jesus. Well, wait, oh, I'm not even going to make a joke there.
You don't deserve to make any jokes after tonight. You're grounded. You are grounded. Don't tweet.
Oh
after this,
anyway.
You go to sleep. You go to sleep, young man. You're grounded.
You want me to go to sleep in the middle of the show?
I said after the show.
I thought you said during. I thought you said right now. Fuck, I couldn't hear you. Fuck, anyway, Cameron, out of 10, what would you give Goon?
I would give it an 8.
Sorry, what?
I would give it an 8.
Am I on? Hello?
Yes.
Yes, you're here.
Fuck. Oh, my God. I can't even. I don't know what the fuck is going on right now. Anyway, but what I was saying was, out of 10, I would give Goon an 8, because it was a very entertaining movie. It was really good. And I'm like I said, we had to kind of speed it up, but Cameron, did you give yours out of 10?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
What was it?
I gave it an 8.
Okay, we both gave it an 8. So, because my Wi-Fi fucked up, oh my god, let's just stop talking about my Wi-Fi and why it's being an asshole tonight. Well, let's move on, because unfortunately we kind of had to cut that review short. So we're going to move on to the sports section real quick. So, Cameron, what are some sports things you want to talk about? Because it's your thing.
I think I know the first thing you mentioned.
The Winter Classic was today.
Yeah,
see, Jamie, I proved you wrong. I proved you wrong.
At least Detroit lost.
I proved you wrong.
Rangers.
Nobody likes Detroit.
How did you prove me wrong on how?
I thought you were going to say I was going to mention LSU. That's what I thought you were going to say.
Oh, no. I thought that you were going to mention the Winter Classic.
Oh.
Yeah, LSU won in a very disappointing game.
You know what? And you lost with a very disappointing Wi-Fi. So guess
Both of y'all really? We're going to compare my shitty Wi-Fi in the middle of one of our biggest interviews we've ever had. You're going to compare that to LSU and just kind of only scoring three times against fucking Iowa and not putting on an entertaining game.
We had a freshman quarterback. Our starter was hurt. He's out. He got hurt in the last game of the season.
You can't just make an excuse for it being a bad game. It was not.
That is the excuse. What are you talking about? You try being a freshman quarterback. This is your second game. Your first game was against a rival with 1 minute left in the fourth quarter. Your second game is the bowl game with a state on your back. You try putting on an entertaining game, Caleb.
Okay. I'm not saying that there aren't reasons that the game
I proved you wrong.
Kind of shitty. But the game was shit. You can't defend the game's shittiness. I understand why, but are you really? Did you think that was a shitty game?
We won, so it was a great game. Any game we win is a great game.
How does winning make it a great game?
Because
you're from Oklahoma, so you
because your team won.
No.
Why?
No.
You can't even. My Wi-Fi has been shit all night, and you can't just say this one line I need you to say.
You're grounded.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know, because this show isn't scripted or anything.
You know what, Cameron? I'm going to give you a week. Next week, you can tell. We can do that joke next week because you're being an asshole.
It's not predetermined entertainment.
Oh my god,
Caleb,
well, fuck.
You have a big
anyway, what?
You have a big mouth.
I have a big mouth. Well, I can do some pretty amazing things with this big mouth. What, that's
boo.
Not even gay. Fuck.
Caleb, you just
lost.
You just lost half the listeners for that one comment.
Oh my god, that was. You know what? I thought that was gonna be hilarious. I thought that would be hilarious. It just made me look like I'm gay, and it just no. I feel bad now. Now people are gonna call Caleb the faggot.
Hold on. Which is the worst live occurrence? Jeff Hardy coming to a pay-per-view bombed, or Caleb's Wi-Fi being drunk? Which is worse?
Oh my god!
Now, that's how you do a joke, Caleb. Learn from the best, okay?
All right. You know what? How about this? How about since tonight's been here and there because of my Wi-Fi? How about we just do this week's top five? Let's do it. Top five. Jamie, I'm going to let you go first tonight. Top five worst in-ring performers of all time. As you remember in the season one premiere, the very first episode, we did top five greatest in-ring performers of all time. Tonight, we're all going to give our opinions on the top five worst. So James, you go ahead.
All right. Well, seeing as how I'm always notified about these top fives like an hour before the show was supposed to even go on, I wasn't even supposed to be on the show. I just did you a favor. And now you're expecting
me to... supposed to be on the show.
And now you're... I didn't get no damn notice. And now you're expecting me to just come up with a top five off the top of my head? Okay. All right. Now, starting off at number five... And this is going to be current, by the way. Number five for me is Ryback. Now, don't get me wrong. Do not get me wrong. When Ryback is in the ring with the right person, he can put on a good quality match. But most of his matches, I'm not going to lie, I think they shit the bed a little bit. I mean, okay, all right. The last one really good match that he had that I can remember is the match that he had with Cena on SmackDown a few months ago. But other than that, I can't really think of anyone else's... I really can't think of anything else that he's done that's been good. Is Ryback terrible? No. But, like, is he overall great? No. At least, I don't think so. Number four, Brodus Clay. And if Brodus Clay is listening right now, he follows me, so he's probably going to unfollow me after this. I just remember when he, when he was the monster heel, he didn't have to do much. But, you know, now his whole Funkasaurus thing is finally stopping, which I'm very thankful for. But just, like, every time he had a match, it was just like, you know, can I fast forward live television? Because I really just do not want to watch this at all. So, yeah, Clay would be number four. At number three, David Otunga. Now, I am a big fan of David I'm a big fan of David Otunga, the person. As the wrestler, not so much, because, I mean, he can't really do much, and he hasn't done much. And, like, we all know the real reason why he's in the business. Just look at the ring on his finger. And that'll tell you everything that you need to know. And at number two, Garrett Bischoff.
God, I forgot to put him on mine.
This fucking moron here, Bischoff. He can't do a damn thing in there. He shouldn't even be in there. And we all know the reason why he's there. Why he was even in Aces and Eights, I'll never understand. And, you know, like, I'm always, and, you know, a big, I'm always a big advocate of, you know, like, giving people chances and whatnot. And I decided to give Bischoff a chance. Didn't happen. I mean, I honestly do not think he's all that great. And he isn't. And number one, Cameron, you are going to hate me for
no.
This.
No.
The number one on my list.
No.
Is the great Ali.
No, you bastard.
Now, I think it's pretty self-explanatory why the great Ali is number one on my list. The guy can barely move. He has a very limited move set. And, I mean, I think the real reason why he's there is because he is a big attraction. Just because, like, of his size alone. I mean, the guy is what, like 7'2", Cameron? 7'1", or whatever like that?
Yeah.
I shudder to think sometimes that this guy was a former world heavyweight champion. And when he did win the title, he held it upside down. That's like the one memorable thing I can remember from Kali, when he won the title and he held it upside down. So, yeah, there is my top five. Pulled out of my ass.
Alrighty. I think it's time for me to do my top five, wouldn't you say, James?
Yeah, and that you'll get cut off.
Hello?
Yes, Caleb, we can hear you.
Anyway, my top five worst in-ring performers of all time. Number five, I have to say Luther Reigns. I mean, I don't have anything against the dude. It's just that his run with, I believe he was with Kurt Angle at one point. He had a solid match with Eddie Guerrero at No Mercy. I think it was 2004 or 2003. It was 2004. And it was a solid match, but it's like, I mean, other than that, this dude never really showed any true potential, I don't believe. Number four is, you know, currently one half of TNA Tag Team Champions. That is Jesse Godders. The dude just doesn't, I'm sure he's a nice guy, But something about him in the ring does not appeal to me. It's just, he doesn't look like he belongs in a wrestling ring. I don't know if it's just me. I mean, I know he was on that Big Brother or whatever. But in the ring, I just don't see it. Then number three, and Cameron's going to hate me for this, but Buff Bagwell. I honestly can't stand Buff Bagwell. I don't think Buff Bagwell is a good in-ring performer. He just, I mean, do you remember that match with Booker T on Raw? God. Cameron, do you remember that match?
That work of art?
Oh, yeah. Like, and then number two is another one Cameron's going to hate me for, and that is the Great Khali. Khali had, like, one solid match with Undertaker back in 2006, the Last Man Standing match on SmackDown. That match was tolerable. However, every other...
Notice how when he met the Great Khali, look what happened. Oh, my God. Alrighty. Cameron, do you think we should wait for him, or did you want to get your list out of the way?
You know what?
Oh, there he is.
Yeah?
Caleb, you dropped.
What just happened? I did? What was I saying when I dropped?
You've been talking to you were bashing Khali.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Khali's number two. Number one, now, I know that this guy's dead, and people are going to be like, oh, because he's dead. But Giant Gonzalez, he just never... I don't know. It's nothing against him, but if you've ever watched that match with Undertaker from, like, WrestleMania 9, that's just my point. I can't think of a good match Gonzalez ever had. I can't think of a decent match. And it's nothing against him. You know, may he rest in peace and whatnot, but that's just my honest opinion. Now, before we do Cameron's list, I would just like to take this time to let you all, I want to tell you all, everyone, that you can get a free audiobook and a 30-day trial with Audible.com. Audible.com is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet. It is a consumer service that allows users to choose the audio versions of their favorite books with a library of over 150,000 titles. Users can purchase individual books up for real savings, can sign up for an Audible listener program, which gives them book credits each month for a low monthly fee. Sign up for your free 30-day trial today by heading to audibletrial.com/PWP radio. And don't forget the / PWP radio so you can get your free trial and audiobook today. Today. Jesus Christ.
Today, Caleb. But I'm pretty sure they got the message.
Oh, gosh.
It's all
good. This Wi-Fi is making me botch.
Does Sin Cara run your provider?
Who else botches all the time besides Sin Cara? I can't think of anyone.
The referee from Raw this past Monday during Khali's match?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
They screwed Khali.
Now Cameron's going to protest. I'm just wondering, Cameron, how many times did you have to download the app?
Many, many times, Jay. Many,
many. Alrighty.
Why? Why would anyone vote for the Great Khali? That's a really good question.
Alrighty, Cameron, you should go ahead and give your list there.
Do your top five.
Alright, well, number five goes to Ezekiel Jackson.
The awkward Intercontinental title holder.
Yes.
Am I the only one that thought that that championship looked so bad on him?
Yes. Oh.
Who?
Ezekiel Jackson.
Oh, dude, you don't like Ezekiel Jackson?
I like him. I thought that the IC title looked really awkward on him.
Oh, yeah, it looked awkward on him. I'm just a fan of his.
Oh, yeah, same here.
All right, number four goes to Kelly. If you
If you follow
I didn't even
me,
put Eva Marie on my list.
If you follow me, when she retired, I had so many arguments with Kelly fangirls when she retired on Twitter. I don't like her. Number three is Tyler Rex.
Thank you.
That's why
Tyler Rex is the voice of a generation.
Tyler Rex is a moron.
He is. He's a moron.
Okay, now, hey, I'm not saying he isn't kind of a dick on Twitter, but, like, I mean, you guys weren't, did you guys like his tag team with Kurt Hawkins?
Nope.
Really? What?
I'm not a fan of Kurt Hawkins, and I'm not a fan of Tyler Rex.
I like Kurt Hawkins, not a fan
I mean,
of Tyler
I'm not
Rex.
A huge fan of Tyler Rex, but that I really like his team with Kurt Hawkins.
I don't, okay, all right. I don't mind Hawkins. Rex, on the other hand, I, no.
Anyway,
all
Cameron
right. Yeah, but number two goes to Chris Masters.
Oh, come on.
What?
Come on.
Are you kidding me?
Come on. Masters, really?
I liked him. But I did not like watching him wrestle. I'm sorry. I didn't like watching him wrestle.
Remember the time that he wrestled that tree, or when he, like, wrestled a tree and bashed it into his mom's house so he could save her from a burglar or some shit? Do you guys remember that?
I think his mom's house was on fire or something, and he got in and saved her or something. It was either a fire or a burglar or something like that.
But number one goes to Ashley.
Who?
Ashley.
Ashley Massaro?
What?
Really?
Yes. 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 No.
So you think Ashley is the worst wrestler than Kali?
Yes. But
I liked some of her stuff, but I wasn't a huge fan of her.
I never liked her. Younger me thought she was hot, but that was the younger me. Younger me just liked white
older
women.
Younger me did it right now.
Older me realizes that younger me was an idiot. So, there you go. That's my top five.
Is that all you have to say, Cameron?
Yes.
See. So, basically, according to all of us, Jamie, your number one was the Great Khali, right?
Yes.
Okay, so basically, the Great Khali, Giant Gonzalez, and Ashley Massaro, according to us, are the three worst in-ring performers of all time. You know what? That's actually a pretty decent... Yeah, I agree with two-thirds. I mean... As far as women, yeah, Ashley Massaro really wasn't that great in the ring, but, you know. How much hate will there be for Eva Marie not being on the list?
The only reason I did not put Eva Marie on my list is because she's still... I mean, like, I think she's still trying.
She only wrestled, like, six matches. Like, what do people expect?
And she's still relatively new, so that's why I didn't put her on there. I was thinking about it.
I just never think to put divas on my list for some reason. I don't know why.
I should have put AJ on my list.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Nah, it's her fan. I was this big AJ fan, but her fans just ruined it for me.
Her fans are the number one reason why I do not like her. It's the only reason. Number one reason why I do not like AJ is because of her psychotic fans. And yes, I said psychotic fans. You come after me, whatever. But
most of her fans are pretty fucking insane. Like, no, mm-hmm. All of her fans, no. But the ones who
definitely not.
And they worship her, and they like have, they like sit in a circle around her shirts, and they like cut themselves that are like AJ Punk, and they're really weird, and they like the ones who send death threats to Michelle Beadle, or whatever her name is.
I was watching that troop show there, and when she appeared on the TV, I'm just like, AJ, I'm just like, it's like the furniture in every AJ fan's living room right now must be flying around the room.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
So.
Oh, my God. So let's talk about why everyone is bitching because Daniel Bryan joined the Wyatts.
Oh, my God. These people. These people. Okay. I'm just going to point this out to everybody who's listening right now. And quote me here and now. Daniel Bryan is not buried. Not buried. It would have made no sense if Bryan would have gotten the upper hand on the Wyatts at the end of the year. Bryan goes over the Wyatts. What does that do for him? It doesn't do a thing. I mean, the Wyatts, they haven't really like established themselves as a top heel faction. But you take in a guy...
People think they have because they've done entertaining promos, but they aren't.
No. They're not established yet. But you get someone
exactly.
like...
They're not.
But you get someone like Daniel Bryan who had a phenomenal year in 2013. You bring him in, have him join, it's like, holy shit. We need to start taking this group serious now. Because they have our boy. They have our guy. This is the guy that we chanted yes, yes, yes along with all year long. This is the guy that we supported to become a two-time WWE champion. Albeit, the reigns lasted, you know, less than a day. But still, though, I mean... Daniel Bryan is the most over guy in the company, and you bring him into that heel faction, and he willingly joins. I mean, that kind of speaks volumes when you think about it.
Yes, exactly. It's the same thing with the NWO. Well, okay, maybe not the exact same thing, but to get the outsiders, you know, Kevin Nash and Scott Hall even more over, they brought in the fucking biggest babyface in the company. That's how you build a really good heel faction, is you bring in someone the crowd loves.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is all just, you know, something more for Daniel Bryan to overcome. Because
exactly.
Because it's like I said before, if Bryan would have beaten all three guys clean, Eric Rowan, Luke Harper, and Bray Wyatt, if he would have beaten all three of those guys clean on Raw, that wouldn't have done a damn thing for him. That only would have brought the Wyatts down further. So...
And one thing is, you look at the last few years, they don't... I mean, the last few years... I mean, I don't remember 2009 necessarily, but like 2010, 11, and 12, all 3 years ended with the heels getting the upper hand in the final edition. You look at the final Raw 2010 with Punk joining the new Nexus.
Yep.
Look at the final Raw 2011 with Kane making the crowd chant Cena sucks. That was stupid, but you get my point.
Yeah.
And
well,
then last Raw 2012. Yeah. Then like 2012, Big E debuted and beat the shit out of Cena. Which this is another interesting thing is.
I think that was
this
the last
is the first
time.
Raw since like I don't even remember when the last 3 years. Have it all involved Cena getting the shit beaten out of him by heels. This is the first year that didn't in a while.
Mm-hmm. But that's only because, well, I mean, like, I'm not saying that, like, if Cena was there, it would have ended differently. But, I mean, Raw, you know what? Raw overall this past Monday had a real fun atmosphere to it. I don't know why. It just did. Because you knew that, you know, the top stars weren't there. Randy Orton wasn't there. John Cena wasn't there. The Real Americans weren't there. I'm not saying that they're top stars right now, but like, you know, they weren't there. The Rhodes brothers weren't there. I don't think Big Show was there either. Or no, wait, was he? I don't remember seeing
him. No, he wasn't.
Okay, all right. But, yeah, just Raw this past Monday overall had a... I mean, it was fun. It was fun to watch.
And Raw this past Monday gave me faith in Fandango again.
Fandango and Big E Langston actually put on a really solid match. I give them props.
Yeah, exactly.
That's probably the best match that Fandango has had.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Next to his match with Jericho, I would say at Extreme Rules. I wasn't really big on the WrestleMania match.
Oh, their Extreme Rules match was fucking awesome. I was there live. Mm. Oh, fucking awesome. Might not be there. Okay, well, seeing Jericho hit a code breaker from the top rope live was fucking awesome. I guess that's a better way to put it.
But I must say, though, my favorite part of Raw was Bad News Barrett.
That was so weird.
I fucking love Bad News Barrett, man.
Cameron was on the Skype call when that happened. He knew how confused I was.
Just like the whole thing. Like, that was so good, and it was so funny. It's just like, I mean, like, the one line I can remember from it that really, like, shows up in my mind is, like, you know, you're all just going to stab each other in the back just so you can say you have a bigger flat screen than all your neighbors. It's like, oh, my God. Like, that's just that entire thing with him is great. And, you know, like, I'm hoping that Barrett actually, like, gets some in-ring time at some point. But I'm digging this whole Bad News Barrett thing right now.
I would like, before we do our plug, I just want to say, like, Bad News Barrett is fantastic, but he just needs to wrestle. I think that's my only issue.
Yeah, I think that once he actually wrestles again, it's going to be really, really good. So.
Anyway, but nonetheless, I just realized this has been a very wrestling-heavy episode, much like two weeks ago, the season one finale. But let's do our plugs. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at TheAwesomeClark or my backup account at CalebClarkJ, which one day I will probably switch to. Who knows? Honestly, at this point, probably one day I'm just going to drop my phone in the toilet and switch over. Who knows? Anyway, and then you can follow, for me and Cameron to completely plagiarize and copy Steven Larson, you can follow the Caleb here and the Cameron account. At EV Radio, or EV of Radio, which are, just look
at
EV,
like,
of,
EV
radio.
Of Radio.
EV of Radio, at EV of Radio, and you can see me and Cameron randomly tweet, and whenever I tweet, I will be saying Caleb here. When he does, he will be saying, and Cameron, and we're just waiting for Machinima to sue us. Now, Jamie, why don't you do your plugs?
All right, you guys can follow me on Twitter at Jamie Lee Mac, and yeah, that's it.
And you can follow me at that LSU fan.
And now, Jamie, why don't you let everyone know of the other shit we can do with Audible?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this edition of CNC Reviews on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio is brought to you by audibletrial.com. If you want to listen to it, Audible has it. With over 150,000 titles in virtually every genre, you'll find what you're looking for. Get a free audiobook and 30-day trial today by signing up at audibletrial.com/PWP radio. Thank you for listening, everybody.
Yeah. Also, let's not forget that I don't know if Jamie just said this because I actually just zoned out, but you can also check out, because we're part of PWP Radio now, you can check out the website prowrestlingpowerhouse.com if you want exclusive articles and just a bunch of cool non-copy-paste news sites that you always see when it comes to wrestling.
Yes, and also like them on Facebook, facebook.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse, and also follow them on Twitter at PW Powerhouse.
And also, let's not forget, guys, sorry about my Wi-Fi tonight. And, like, just tune in next week. My Wi-Fi will be perfect. You know what? Just have a good one. Have a good New Year. We had fun. So I hope you guys have fun, and good night, everybody.